The Muppets in Character podcast is intended to be a family-friendly series. We do encourage parents to preview this show as well as any other podcast to ensure it's appropriate for all members of your family. Thank you for downloading this episode, and now on with the show.
Ooh, boy! If you like that act, you're gonna love mine!
Well, who are you?
Lou Zealand and his boomerang fish act! Woo!
Lou Zealand and his boomerang fish act?
Oh, yeah! Hey, it's Razzle Dazzle!
You're listening to Muppets in Character, the podcast that hitches a ride on the psychedelic Studebaker and takes a trip back through the years to reintroduce ourselves to some of Jim Henson's wondrous Muppet characters. Histories, backstories, details, and memories of some of our favorite Muppets. And now, here are this week's panelists of Muppets in Character. This is Muppets in Character Episode 1. This is our pilot episode, and today we're discussing Lou Zealand. Now, my name is Matt. I'm going to be hosting today's episode, and along with me are two of the biggest Muppet fans I know, and they also happen to be two people very close to me. So first with us today is my sister, Karen.
Hello.
And my wife, Christy.
I'm so close, I'm only 3 feet away.
So Lou Zealand, I was going to open up with what his first appearance was, but I thought I'd ask you guys, because I'll preface why I'm asking this question. Lou Zealand, I just remember always being part of the Muppets. He was never as big as, like, certainly not as big as Kermit or Fozzie or Gonzo, and not quite as big as Animal, but more along the lines of, like, a Link Hogthrob or, those secondary characters. They seem to be there from the beginning, so that was leading me to I was surprised to see when he did start. So let me ask you guys, when do you think his first appearance on The Muppet Show was out of the 5 seasons the original Muppet Show aired?
Ooh, that's a stumper. I'm going to guess the first season.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Karen, what's your guess?
Since I was only 5 when the 5th season started.
Show off.
I'm gonna go with the 3rd season. I think he was a later character.
Well, Karen, you're right. It was 3rd season. It was actually episode 310, so about a third way into it. So you know what? I forgot to even say who this character was, so we're still trying to find our footing here on this show. So I'm sure anyone that's downloaded this knows who Lou Zealand is, but in case you don't, he was the well, what's the first thing you guys think of when you think of Lou Zealand? And that'll pinpoint who he was.
Boomerang fish.
Yep, he was the... I always described in my head, because I don't think I've ever had this conversation with anyone, I always just thought of in my head his costume as being like a circus costume, almost like a ringmaster. I always thought of him as the boomerang fish throwing ringmaster.
That was always odd that he had the little ruffle collar. He was almost like a French clown / ringmaster.
Okay.
I always remembered the fish and the giant mustache. It was like a big meat mustache.
Meat mustache?
Meat mustache?
Look at my lovely mustache.
I'm still trying to figure out what the meat part has to do with it, if it's not bacon.
It's a meaty mustache.
All right. So, okay, like we said, or I said rather, it was episode 310 of the 3rd season of The Muppet Show. This show was in production from April 18th to April 20th in 1978. So you were what, a year old? No.
I was 2 in 78.
Okay, you're 2. You were 76. For some reason, I thought 79. I guess I got upside down dyslexic there.
Make me 3 years younger. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, I like to think of myself as 3 years younger, so I had to apply it to my siblings as well.
I was 5.
Yeah, I was not 5.
You were not 5.
Anyway. All right, got another question for you guys. And if either of you get this, I will never host the podcast again because you know far more about this than I do. Who was the special guest of episode 310? The guest star.
Oh, I think I know it.
Okay.
And I'm reaching into the back of my brain. Was it Leslie Uggams?
Nope.
Oh. My brain's still a little fuzzy then.
Karen, do you even have a random guess? Christy's answer is less obscure than the real answer, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, then I have absolutely no guess whatsoever.
Okay, I watched every appearance of Lou Zealand for this episode, including this initial episode, and I still don't know who this person is. Marissa Berenson.
Who?
Fashion model and actress, according to Wikipedia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Told you.
So really, honestly, the most important appearance of this episode is the first appearance of Lou Zealand, I think we can all agree.
Yeah. Ooh. Can we pretend it's Leslie Uggams? Because I remember Leslie Uggams. Just because she had a cool name, like Uggams.
Uggams. I thought that was a Muppet.
Uggams. No, she's not. She was actually a person.
All right.
She should be a Muppet. She should be a Muppet, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into... On this show, we're going to discuss a couple things. We got some behind the scenes coming up first. But first, I want to run through... I guess you could call it the character's history. They don't have much of a backstory. They just kind of appear and then go through different courses and evolutions during the show. And I got him kind of from the beginning to where we're at now, because he is actually seen in the new Muppets movie. I don't know if I can pinpoint the scene, but it certainly was mentioned on Muppetpedia, and I'm sure I saw him. I had to have seen him.
Yeah, I sort of remember seeing him in it, but he didn't have any lines or anything.
Right. And Dollars the Donuts. We're actually in the wrong room, but Dollars the Donuts, he's on that poster, because that is a fantastic poster all those Muppets on it.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look when this is over. Yeah. I should have looked before, but like I said, we're still getting our footing. But let's go. All right, here we go. His first appearance on this episode is actually in the first backstage segment, and I think... Just a recap to anyone that hasn't seen the Muppet Show in a while. There's always, you have the opening number that Kermit introduces. And typically after that opening number, you see the performers leaving the stage while Kermit and sometimes Scooter, but mostly Kermit, are setting up for the next scene. So Kermit's setting up for the next scene. Lou Zealand comes into himself, introduces himself to Kermit, and tells him that Kermit is going to love his act. And if you two certainly said early on in the show, that is his boomerang fish act.
That's the best act. I remember that made me laugh every time. I never understood it. I still don't. I don't think you're supposed to, because it's boomerang fish. But as a kid, it made me laugh.
Well, see, I never laughed nor not laughed of it. It just was what it was. It's like he is a boomerang fish thrower. It wasn't until, like, you know, there was a period of time where it didn't have Muppets on a regular basis until Muppets Tonight came along, and it made me, you know, kind of revisit it and see the Muppets. And then I'm in my early 30s, and that is when I finally realized how ridiculous the idea of a boomerang fish is. And then I started to re-enjoy that idea. Yeah. But I never, you know, it just was what it was when I was a kid.
My question was, okay, how dead were the fish? If they are that stiff, does that mean that they are, like, were they frozen? Were they that dead that they were stiff?
Yeah, you're right, because they did look pretty real. Yeah. At least from what I remember, they looked pretty dang real.
But they were kind of stiff?
Yeah.
Because they were aerodynamic and they did return.
Did they? Because we'll get into that here shortly.
Somebody returned them.
Somebody threw them back.
Well, after this pitch, Kermit declined. And his reasoning for it was that they aren't looking for any, quote, highbrow acts, unquote, at this time. So Lou asked him kindly to think about it and went off to give his fish Seymour a bath.
He had a pet fish?
Did he name them all?
I wrote down the name Seymour for two reasons. One, just that it had a name. I didn't really think much about it till you said that. Now it's got me thinking. But it also is, you know, we're going to talk about Seymour and Pepe somewhere down the line. So I'm kind of looking at historic names and whatnot that crop up. Maybe they'll relate to something. Maybe they won't. But yeah, you're right. So these aren't just tools to him, I suppose. I guess they're also pets, which is a very strange way to...
Yeah. Does he ever refer to... I don't recall him referring to them any other time. I do recall him talking to them.
Yes.
Like, go, my lovelies, and throwing them out.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't, he wasn't the Wicked Witch of the West. And these weren't flying monkeys.
Could have been. They were flying fish. Ooh, were they flying fish or were they... Does it say what kind of fish they were?
Boomerang
fish. You know,
fish.
I think I remember writing that down. I don't see it. We're going to find out as we go through here, maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. I think I'm sure he's got some fish jokes coming up. How could you not be in this character? Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. So we walked off to give Seymour a bath. As the episode moved along, Kermit allowed Miss Piggy to write the closing number for this sketch. And Miss Piggy kept the sketch details a secret for Kermit, initially only revealing two pieces of information. One was the title, which was simply called The Wedding. And the other piece of information would be that Kermit would be playing the groom while Piggy would be playing the bride.
As usual.
Yes, yes. And I don't know. I didn't watch every episode of The Muppets. I don't know if this is the first instance of this kind of trickery yet. That's another thing we might want to keep a soft tally on.
Yeah.
How many times Miss Piggy tries to marry Kermit?
Or tries to trick him into it or something. Yes, so that's a good thing to keep in mind. Further along in the show, more about Lou here. We get to the second backstage segment of the show, and Lou is repitching his routine again to Kermit. And he thought explaining it a little more might help sell the act. So he described, this is the first, no, I'm sorry. He did use the term boomerang fish in the first time, but he wanted to describe what the boomerang fish act is. And again, in quotes, "I throw the fish into the air, they sail away, and then they come back to me." Just in case there's any question of what I guess he was meaning.
Some people don't know about what a boomerang is.
That could be, though.
Yeah, could be.
This is before the big Australian takeover with Jacko and all the other stuff. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So after this second pitch, Kermit tried to get more information from Miss Piggy about the closing sketch. So I guess Lou got dissed again. Or turned down again, I guess is a better word. Again, Piggy assured Kermit that this is a comedy sketch. It's not a real wedding with a real minister. Then Piggy went up to her dressing room where there is a pig Muppet dressed in a minister robe. And Piggy asked him if he was indeed a real minister. And he concurred. So this was I looked at it pretty close. This is not a Link Hogthrob or a Doctor Strange pork. This is
the generic.
Well, pig. I was going to call it a pig whatnot, like a one of the ones they use in the chorus whenever they would do those Village People movie songs with the Viking pigs and stuff. Well, there's only one they did with the Viking pigs, but a what pig above what. So notably at this point, this has nothing to do with Lou Zealand or this wedding sketch. This episode 310 has one of the, for me, more memorable, I don't know why I have such a clear recollection of this sketch. It was the wig racing sketch. You guys remember that?
No,
I do not.
Okay, there was like a Howard Cosell takeoff kind of whatnot Muppet.
I remember
Who was doing it. There was a wig race, and there was, you know, these wigs that were racing like down a track. And as they passed by him from behind, his toupee jumped off and joined the joined the race.
I remember that the Howard Cosell Muppet. Uh-huh. His wig having a personality of its own.
Right.
But yeah. I don't remember the wig race. Yeah.
Yeah. And it had the joke, and I didn't write this down because I still remember it to this joke. Howard Cosell asked one of the wig racers, "Do you use a shampoo to wash your wigs?" And he goes, "No, only real poo."
Yeah.
No, not poo, but the joke was sham. The look on your face looked like you were utterly disgusted.
I'm sorry. I went straight to poo. Okay. Sorry.
So, yeah, big shock. Anyway, so that really has nothing to do with Lou Zealand. But we did get a performance from the lovely and talented and memorable Marissa I don't even remember how to say her name now. Berenson? I don't know. And we're taken to the Muppet Studios kitchen where the Swedish chef is preparing a wedding cake. For the closing sketch. And Lou Zealand is patiently awaiting his sandwich. Now, true or false, whoever wants to take this,
okay.
Lou ordered a tuna fish sandwich.
Ooh. I'm going to say false.
I'm going to be contrary and say true.
False. He ordered a liver sandwich. Not liverwurst, liver sandwich.
Ew.
Leslie Uggams.
Yes, with something, Leslie Adams.
That's what I'm going to say. Anytime I'm confused, I'm just going to say Leslie Uggams.
Well, he ordered a liverwurst sandwich with something on the side. The waitress used the sandwich to kill a fly, so the sandwich already came with something on the side, was the joke of that one.
Oh.
I didn't make that up. That's
hardy heart.
Okay. All right. Now we're on to the third backstage scene. Kermit is in his tuxedo for the closing sketch, and Lou is pleading once again, just let him throw one fist to show Kermit he can do it. Again, Kermit declines. Then Scooter enters asking Kermit to sign an autograph for a little old lady in the audience. Distracted, Kermit signs the paper. Scooter lets it slip that it's a marriage license, but then covers it up just by saying, oh, and, you know, I didn't say anything, and walks away. Now, again, this is not an episode about Scooter. We may do one in the future, but I don't have, you know, a super knowledge base of Scooter, but I don't remember him being this conniving or ever being, you know, one's doing something like this for Piggy. You always seem to be more of a Kermit
yes man. Yeah,
he always
seemed to be straightforward. Well,
And he was mainly watching out for his uncle.
His uncle, yes. His uncle in the theater.
His uncle was the focus, not necessarily anybody.
Okay, so... Okay, now, like I said, just a little side note. Maybe we'll talk about that somewhere down the line, because we got some more Lou goodness to get on here. All right, so now we're on to the wedding sketch. And there's a lot going on in this final thing, and it has a lot to do with Lou. And it really, I think, is where I think maybe the performers and the writers decided to keep this character coming back. So I'm going to set the stage here. On one side of the congregation, there's about a dozen frogs and Fozzie Bear. And Kermit and the minister walk down to the front of the church. Rolf is playing the organ. Backstage, Miss Piggy and Marissa Barrington. Marissa's helping her get ready to walk out, straightening her dress and whatnot. I don't know why she's even on this show, because I don't even know who this is. But anyway. So on the other side of the stage is a congregation of about 10 or so pigs. The wedding starts. So we get the vows. Piggy says her I do's. The minister asks Kermit, do you take this pig to be your lawfully wedded wife? To which Kermit responds, I want to introduce to you the amazing Lou Zealand and his boomerang fish. Yay! And Lou comes out to grand fanfare and proceeds to throw. All right, let's do it closest to the pin. How many fish does he throw? Because I counted. Christy, I'll let you go second. I'll make Karen answer first, so this way you can do an over-under.
Doesn't mean I'm going to be
I know, but at least you can take an over-under number from her.
Okay.
All right, Karen, give me a number.
I'll go 4.
I will keep with an even number, but I will say 6.
Okay, Christy finally gets a point.
Woohoo!
It was 13.
Holy cow.
All right, now let's do another. Okay, you think that's a holy... Well, I may have just blew it there. Okay, he throws 13 fish over under, or not over under, closest to the pit again. Christy, you go first. How many actually came back to him?
1.
Karen?
I would say none.
Oh, you went the wrong way. It was 2.
Ah!
It's out of the 13 fish. Woo-hoo! 2 came back to
him. Winner by default.
So he's actually really not that good of a boomerang fish thrower. Or as well, I don't know. I guess no, because you do need a skill to throw a boomerang, because I remember trying to do that when I was younger. So no, he's not a very good boomerang fish thrower.
Yeah, because otherwise a boomerang's just a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So not only is this his first appearance, but he gets to join the guest star at the end of the stage credits. It's kind of, I always equated this to the equivalent of the Muppet equivalent of a comedian being asked to sit on Johnny Carson's couch. If the Muppet made it to the end of the episode, to the closing during the last bow, then they were pretty important that episode. And yeah. Lou Zealand was in the last shot before the band credits.
Cool.
One final note about this episode. This might be something that I track or not track, but this particular episode, Gonzo's horn gag, Kermit actually blows a trumpet that pushes Gonzo out of the frame. So there is a trumpet heard at the end of this, but it's Kermit blowing it instead of Gonzo. So this is the first appearance and introduction of the character. So not quite as thorough as that. I have kind of like some highlights of the rest of his appearance throughout the Muppet world, I guess it were. So jumping forward a couple episodes to episode 314 with Harry Belafonte, who Woo-hoo! I know who that is, Lou Zealand performed a duet with Rolf. It was a rendition of T for Two backwards.
What?
Yeah.
Two for T and T. How'd you do that?
Two for T. No, I think it started from the very end of the song and went backwards.
Maybe. Okay.
I don't remember. I watched it too. I didn't put much notes on there. Episode 317 was Spike Mulligan. Don't know who that is. I guess this is like, okay, now I'm reading my notes. I guess Spike Mulligan was some kind of performance artist comedian because he did this, I'd say 3 or 4 minute poem, but had kind of an interaction with the Muppets during this poem. It was called The Intergalactic Brotherhood of Man Including Things. And Lou Zealand played a small role in that.
That was one of those times where the Muppet Show tried to introduce you to something cultural, yes, like Shields and Yarnell. That was a weird episode.
So on those lines, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
Introduce you to what?
Shields and Yarnell.
Shields and Yarnell and Moment Shots. Oh, God, I'm old.
Okay.
Ooh. Episode 318, Lou trades a set of puns with Leslie Uggams.
Leslie Uggams! Leslie Uggams.
There you go.
That is a key word for me for today. Leslie Uggams.
Okay, Leslie Uggams asks, what does it take to be a great boomerang fish thrower? And then Lou answers, you got to have soul. And if you can't have soul, use halibut. Now, you knew it? How did you know that joke?
I don't know. I just...
How about this one? Leslie Uggams asks, now, how did you acquire this talent? Was it by accident? No, it was on porpoise. Okay, last but not least, I started this act with my brother. We used to use kippers, but we split up. Why?
He was shellfish.
Nope. Oh. That's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. That's
he said, Leslie asks why, and Lou answers, hey, am I my brother's kipper? But I'm jump.
Ooh. Wow.
So Leslie Uggams ended the skit with a song, and Lou accompanied him on fish. He was playing the fish.
How is he playing the fish?
Best I could describe it is...
Is it like an air guitar?
Yes. Okay. I don't mean it like a guitar, but it's not like a unique sound came out of it. He was just playing along with the music.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm sure Lou Zealand himself fabricated some kind of musical fish, but I don't know the actual mechanics of it.
Actually, Lou Zealand is a master of genetics, and he bred the fish.
Here we go. True or false?
Uh-oh.
Cluckitis is a virus that, when contracted, changes the infected into a chicken.
Cluckitis? False.
Karen?
I'll go with true then.
Yep, it's true, because in January of 1979, Lou fell ill. In episode 312 with Roger Miller, a strain of the virus cluckitis broke out in the Muppet Show Theater. This virus transformed anyone that contracts it into a chicken, so we only see Lou in this episode in his infected chicken form. You kind of get one of those, you know, general chickens that aren't Camilla that comes out that has a mustache and talking like Lou Zealand.
The chicken.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
It is. It's actually, yeah, it is.
Chicken
it is
with funny. A mustache.
Yep, and then with that voice. So Lou made the best of his situation and temporarily changed his act from boomerang fish to boomerang eggs.
Oh, well, and how did he throw them?
With his wing, but coming back were a bit of a challenge because they were hurled at him and would break. So he kind of dodged out of the way. He didn't actually catch them.
Okay.
So that's it for his third series debut, but he's back in the fourth series. Again, they kind of wait a third of the season to bring him back because it wasn't until episode 411 when he came back. Now, this is he went from overcoming his illness. Oh, maybe he's on the mend from cluckitis. That might be the problem.
No.
So he has almost a triumphant return because he returns to the Muppet Show as a hero. During a stunt involving a huge tub of oatmeal, something went horribly wrong and Gonzo began to sink. Lou, along with Fozzie Bear, immediately came rushing to his aid with spoons, milk, brown sugar, and raisins to eat their way to Gonzo's rescue.
Did they add fish to it?
No.
Fish, oatmeal. Oatmeal.
So, I got a couple notes on how this happened because I was revising my notes and went, you know, I couldn't remember how this happened. So I went back, and that's because I didn't watch the whole episode. I just went right to his thing. So here's the long and short of it. Again, involves some characters when we talk about. But I will say that this was supposed to be Gonzo's last appearance because he was going off to Bombay, India to become a performer. So his only regret is that he never got to perform his top act, which was singing Top Hat while tap dancing in a vat of oatmeal. So Gonzo on his way out of the theater was replaced by Trevor the Gross, which is actually a green freckle Muppet.
Woohoo, freckle.
I think, yep, with a orange beak and a top hat. So Gonzo actually later receives news that this Bombay, India movie company thought they were actually hiring Gonzo the Mediocre and sent the wrong letter. They said it to Gonzo the Great. So he's been hiding in Lola Falana's dressing room.
Ooh, that's another good word. Lola Falana, Leslie Uggams.
Until he hears that Trevor's closing number is going to be singing Top Hat while dancing in a vat of oatmeal. And that's when Gonzo comes out, confesses to Kermit what had happened, and decides to do the act himself. Now, Trevor is about twice Gonzo's height, so I could see where the safety measures got a little fakaka. So once Gonzo jumped into the oatmeal...
The fact that there were safety measures, quote-unquote. Right.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a stage show. There's got to be some kind of... You've worked stage shows. There's safety measures with stunts and whatnot. You've worked in a stunt-oriented show for years.
Yes, none of them involved oatmeal.
Well, okay, this one didn't involve... a T-1000, so, you know, teach their own. So, anyway, my point is, I could see how Gonzo would sink and be in danger, and I'd imagine a giant vat of oatmeal is much like quicksand, where the more you struggle, the worse you are, the worse off you get. Well, anyway, but so Lou and Fozzie Bear say.
You could eat your way out of a vat of oatmeal.
Yeah, I guess you could.
I mean, if you're really
well,
hungry.
But would you want to? It's kind of like pancakes.
You can only go so far.
Yeah, you get so far and then you get sick of them.
Thank you, Christy Hedberg.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, in the Liza Minnelli episode.
Liza Minnelli?
Yes, Liza Minnelli.
You know what? I sort of remember that episode.
You know, I remember this, and when I watch it, I remember why I don't remember many details of it, because this is, well, I'll get to it.
You remember why you don't remember?
Yes. It'll make sense. That statement will make sense in a little bit. Okay, so in this episode, we all thought Lou, or all us New Zealand fans, thought that we lost Lou tragically while he choked to death on a fishbone during a murder interrogation.
Ooh.
There's some confusion surrounding his death. Because his last words of exclamation were poison, but Dr. Bunsen Honeydew explained that that was the French word for fish bone.
Oh.
No, it's not. No, I actually looked that up to make sure. Okay. It is not. But just a few moments later, everyone that was eating in the scene eventually met their demise, including Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and the Swedish chef. But fear not, these were not real deaths. These were all performances during what was described by Brian Henson as an experimental episode of The Muppet Show, which featured one continuous murder mystery storyline, which is why I don't, when I watch this again, I go, oh my God, I remember watching this as a child and just
being
not
traumatized.
Liking it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was traumatized by the fake deaths, but I remember it being very not Muppet Showy and not liking the episode. Because even though Liza Minnelli did some singing numbers, the sets rarely changed. There was like two sets, the murder scene and where everyone was gathered being questioned, which I think was like a police station or whatnot.
Yeah, that's not, it's the Muppet Show is supposed to be more fun and upbeat. Not
it's very dark.
Serious.
It was very dark. And it was very dark. I mean, it was, it had jokes, it had a laugh track and whatnot, but it just did not feel the same. Again, you know, 33 years later, I didn't like watching this episode again.
Well, it's like, that's kind of like every once in a while there would be a dark episode. And the one that always sticks out in my mind is when they did Stop, What's That Sound? Everybody Look What's Going Around. And it's the hunters coming after the cute fuzzy animals. Anytime I would come into a best of, I'd like fast forward it because I'm like, they're shooting at the animals. Now, given the animals get back at them, but I didn't remember that part from being a kid. Just the darkness of somebody's hunting these cute fuzzy animals. That's not right.
Yeah.
That would be up there with the murder mystery. That would not fit.
It was, I know the exact, when you said that, I know the exact scene you're talking about. Okay, let's get out of this. All right. So, let's get some happier news. In his next appearance, Lou was able to perform Orange Colored Sky with Wonder Woman's Linda Carter.
Wonder Woman!
Ching, ching! Ching, ching!
I don't remember that episode, but I feel like
you don't
like
remember
I
the Linda Carter? Oh,
no,
yeah.
But I feel this like I should.
This is a good one. You would like this because many of the Muppets, I don't recall exactly which one, although I'm sure Gonzo's one, were taking on superhero personas because of her guest shot on this.
That makes sense.
In his next appearance, Lou had a little bit of a mean streak to him, at least in this episode. In the opening number with Paul Simon, it was a very Renaissance-esque musical number that included a stilt walker. And the stilt walker remained on a stilt throughout the episode and ran into numerous obstacles, like hitting his head on the rafters, door jams and stuff like that. Now, on one of the backstage segments, when an opportunity came for a cheap laugh, Lou Zealand, standing on the second floor landing of the backstage area, yelled, "Hey, catch!" to the stilt walker and threw one of his trademark boomerang fish at him. And the stilt walker fell right to the ground. But I laughed. I'm not too proud to say I laughed.
Falling down is funny.
Yeah, especially when you're getting hit by a fish.
Sorry. So I went there.
That's it for his fourth season. appearances, and he did have a few more in the final season of The Muppet Show. So starting in June 1980, he was part of one of the fifth season's most memorable opening numbers, the performance of another opening of another show. Remember that one?
Yes.
That's where Scooter, yeah. Rizzo, Gonzo, Link Hogthrob, Fozzie Bear, and Lou Zealand did one of the more notable visual gags, I think, that The Muppet Show has ever done, and that's where they kept getting curtains closed on them as they were trying to perform because Beaker and Beauregard were having trouble with the curtains. And there must have been, I didn't count them, but there must have been 20 to 30 curtains. And it was all continuously one shot, save for when they went back and forth to Beaker and Beauregard, presumably, you know, to reset so that they could do more. But I mean, it felt like one shot of them constantly moving and curtains closing on them. Do you remember that at all? Either of you?
No. I remember the song.
Oh, okay.
And hearing that over and over, I don't remember the Beaker and arguing in the back.
Yeah, I think it's up on that just is isolated on YouTube. Take a look at it. It's fun. Perhaps, and I think maybe in my opinion, one of Lou Zealand's greatest performances on The Muppet Show didn't involve his boomerang fish, but rather his singing fish. He did a rendition of You Light Up My Life, where Lou would squeeze each fish to produce a certain key, a note.
He ripped off Marvin's Sugs.
I was going to note that. So,
he ripped off Marvin's Sugs.
So it was to a backing track of You Light Up My Life, and they wouldn't really sing. They kind of like, they make this gargling noise. Yep. Huh. Yep, it was definitely a Marvin Sugs thing. It was of course, a Monty Python thing well before this.
Who's Marvin Suggs?
He was with the Muppet phones.
The big fuzzy things that he would hit them and they'd sing. He'd hit them with like things. Oh my gosh, we're going to play the Muppet phones. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I have the voice even slightly right?
Yeah, I don't remember the voice. But you're just saying that because he looks Italian, the action figure.
I think he does. He's got the big fluffy arm sleeves.
I'll have to look it up.
Yes.
Like the different almost like the Caribbean kind of sleeves where it's all kinds of ruffles.
He does. It looks like a Calypso outfit.
Yes.
Yep. Now, I thought this had to be this and the Marvin Suggs had to be an homage to that Monty Python sketch. And this is not Monty Python in character, although I think that's a good idea for someone to do. I had to note this because I went and wanted to check out that scene. And I could have sworn if you would have told me to put money on it, I thought it was Michael Palin that did that scene. It was not. It was Terry Jones.
Oh.
And he played, and it was with mice, and he played the Bells of St. Mary with two hammers, two big wooden hammers. Okay. So jumping ahead. Now that's it for his fifth season appearances. Pretty light.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump ahead to the Muppets Tonight area because he had a couple notable things there too.
Oh, I love Muppets Tonight.
I wrote that or noted that Lou Zealand was presumably on the planning committee of K-Mup network programming because in the very first scene of any Muppets Tonight, there's a board meeting table discussion about what their programming is going to be at K-Mup, and he was on that panel. So I think, you know, kind of like, as shows progress and they make a comeback, they pull some of the old people back as advisors and on the board and whatnot. So I'm assuming that's the story for that.
He was not in Mothballs.
Yes, right. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Kind of like when, okay.
Brought him out of retirement to inspire the next generation.
Yeah. Like there when sports teams hire their old players for consultants and, oh, wow, I'm on talking to the wrong crowd about this subject. Sorry.
Sports.
Yeah. Never mind.
Is that I know what you're talking about.
Okay, there you go, yeah.
Is that where they chase the puck with a helmet and a bat?
It's like Cote being a coach.
Right, yeah.
See?
Okay.
All right, Christy claims to be one of the biggest Muppets Tonight characters, so this is a true or false question for Christy only.
Ooh.
True or false, Lou Zealand is in the opening sequence for Muppets Tonight.
Oh.
You're a human being. Get to love you.
Sorry, I'm going through the video in my head. False.
You're off the show.
Oh,
you're the worst best Muppet fan ever.
Where?
When Clifford is walking through the studio, he's followed by two pigs spinning plates and then joined by Lou Zealand holding a fish, presumably Seymour.
Oh.
And here we are with the pet fish again.
Oh. I'm a bad Muppet fan.
You are. Lou only had one speaking role in Muppets Tonight. It was a microwave popcorn joke during a Dr. Bunsen Honeydew bit. Otherwise, he was relegated to a background Muppet for the rest of the series.
Oh.
I'm going to skip over the movie era here. And not that I don't want to talk about the movies, but I think we're going to certainly be talking a lot about characters in the movies in greater depth in the future. And he is in
every
movie except the Kermit prequel movie, the Kermit Swamp Years.
There's a lot of characters that aren't in that movie. It's kind of like a one-off. It's a Muppet movie, but it's not really a Muppet movie. There's not a lot of Muppets other than Kermit and the rest of the frogs.
Yeah, it's not a classic Muppet movie.
No.
For sure. Yep. So I'm just going to skip over his movie stuff. I'm going to note that he's in a ton of specials, too. And the notable ones I put were The Muppets Go to the Movies, The Muppets A Celebration of 30 Years, A Muppet Family Christmas, which we just watched before the Christmas holiday again. I love that. Just for Laughs Canadian Comedy Film Festival, or Comedy Festival, not Film Festival. And The Case of the Stolen Show. I don't know what that is, and I'm going to find out, though. Not going to go into much detail about the specials either, because we'll probably be talking about those, but except save for one, because I had never ever heard of this, and it's in its entirety on YouTube. It's called I Love Liberty.
Was that for the anniversary of the Statue of Liberty?
No.
I know this. How do I know this? It's where is it? It stars Sam the Eagle and it's for the 250th birthday of George Washington, or something like that.
It's something like that. Yeah, you're certainly on the right track. It's a special that aired on ABC just once on March 21st, 1982. It was developed by Norman Lear and produced by the People for the American Way, which is a nonprofit organization formed by Lear to combat the growing influence of right-wing religious groups. It started off with a live shot of Big Bird walking out on the center stage and engaging Martin Sheen, of all people.
Wow.
And eventually introducing a pre-recorded sketch of the Muppets as the Second Continental Congress.
Wow, that's obscure.
It is very obscure. It was about 5 or 6 minute depiction about how difficult it was to form the Second Continental Congress to reach an accord after they draft the first draft of the Declaration of Independence. So it wasn't the anniversary of George Washington specifically, but more the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, which he was part
that makes
of.
More sense, yeah. Yep.
So in usual Muppet spirit, the climax of the arguing and fighting ended in a song of friendship and harmony.
Much like the Second Continental Congress.
Yes, exactly.
Really did.
Now, I watched this and already started my notes, but Lou Zealand doesn't have any speaking parts in this. So, you know, I was hoping he did. It's not clear which historic character he was supposed to play, but the entire sketch is on YouTube, and it's certainly worth seeing. And it's called, the YouTube title is different. The YouTube title is called The Muppet Reenactment of the Continental Congress. It's not called this I Love Liberty. So if you want to find it, type in, and we'll have that in our show notes too. But if you don't visit the website, look up The Muppet Reenactment of the Continental Congress. It's certainly worth seeing. I've never seen it before. I've been a Muppet fan for over 30 some odd years, and I've never seen this until now.
That is extremely obscure.
It is, yeah.
And it was only shown once.
Only aired once, yes. Much like the Star Wars Christmas special and the Macintosh 1984 commercial.
Yes.
So, okay, now, last but not least, certainly not least, I have to mention, Lou Zealand is in possibly the greatest viral video ever made, The Muppets Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
What's his line, Christy? Redeem yourself.
Now I got to go through the song in my head. I'm fixated on the Pepe. I see a little silhouette of a prawn. I don't know.
Let me throw.
Oh. I was having flashes of Bobo for a second.
Horrible.
I'm sorry.
You're the worst Muppet
fan. I fixate.
I have to go back and re-record the opening where I said some of the biggest Muppet fans I know. I should teach just some Muppet fans I know.
Oh.
Oh, that's okay. You're nervous. It's our first episode. Oh. You'll redeem yourself later. All right. So that's it. That's his career thus far. I'm hoping that's not the end of it. We do have, you know, another, at least one movie to look forward to, if not more, maybe a series some down the road. I'm not saying I heard any rumors or news about it. I have not. I'm just hoping there is. I mean, if Disney's going to fund money into the Star Wars series, which I'm a fan of as well, I would certainly hope they do it with the Muppets as well, because they already have everything they need for that.
And they've already started filming the second movie.
Yep.
Muppets 2, Electric Boogaloo.
You know, I'm going to cut that out.
It's not.
All right, so here's some behind-the-scenes stuff, if you don't already know it. New Zealand, I thought this was interesting. Certainly didn't know this. I actually didn't even know, I will admit, that I didn't know officially what a whatnot was considered, that there was an actual term until the F.A.O. Schwartz Muppets came out. Mm-hmm. But he was actually designated originally a whatnot designed by Dave Goals. But the character is further fleshed out in the New York Muppet Workshop by designer Amy Van Gilder. New Zealand was originally performed by the late, great Jerry Nelson, who debuted him in the original episode 310 in 1978 and performed him until 2003. Muppet god Bill Beretta picked up Lou in 2002 for his Very Merry Muppet Christmas movie, and again in 2005 for The Muppets Wizard of Oz. Matt Vogel took over the character in 2008 and continues to perform him today. Jerry Nelson, of course, set the personality of the character back in the 70s, and he's been quoted as saying that New Zealand was Nelson's tribute to Frankie Fontaine, an American entertainer from the 50s and 60s. Now, I tried to look up some clips of him, and I found one commercial from the 60s with him in it. And there's a really close, there's a very strong, that's the word I'm looking for, voice similarity. Sound-wise, tone-wise, definitely dead on. Jerry did a little more, some affectations to his voice to make him a little more cartoonish or, you know, maybe even kid entertaining friendly. And whatnot. But they sound a lot alike.
Because I actually saw one of the episodes of his show, because Frankie Fontaine had a show, and in just kind of picking around the universe and the internet to find out more about it, I watched an episode or highlights of an episode. And it was kind of like a minor character he had on his variety show. He was kind of like Jim Neighbors, where he had one voice that was kind of goofy, but then he would sing in this like beautiful voice, and he would go into these different things. Kind of was this like goofy, and I'm going to date myself here, like a Clem Cadiddlehopper, Red Skelton. Like, God, I'm old.
You've already dated yourself by knowing who Frank Fontaine is. So.
No, that was the internet's fault. That was only because of the internet. I did watch it, but it is kind of weird when you think about New Zealand and you watch that clip, you totally see it.
Yeah,
totally
I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
Didn't look like him at all.
No, there is no physical appearance. There's no physical resemblance at all. It is all voice. As far as merchandise, there's only a few things I could find. And again, thanks to Muppetpedia for this source. Certainly the action figure. He was in the third series release of the action figure, and I just saw it the other day in Christie's collection room.
Yes. It's not a lot of them I don't have.
I was taking a good look at these figures the other day when I went to see that one. These figures have a tremendous amount of detail. I've known they're always detailed, but wow. I this is the first time I took a real close look at them. And not only the detail in the figures, but the items they come with. His fish look like, if you take a look on Muppetpedia of his main profile picture, this looks just like the fish he's holding. Comes with a bucket for the fish. Just the amounts of details in these figures are
It is
pretty
really
amazing.
Such a shame that those figures did not get to finish out their series, because they Palisades had some great designs, and then they just weren't able to keep the company open.
There was there's a series of collectible bust release. He was in the series 4 of that, and you don't have any of those.
No, that's, those are the Sideshow collectibles.
Sideshow collectibles, yeah. Those tend to get expensive. Those are hard to collect because of their price points. Yeah. Just in general. I mean, they have a lot of great Star Wars stuff that I'd love to get as even just gifts for people, but they're just they're a little too expensive for that kind of thing. I've always liked this character. When Christy was trying to figure out how and what she wanted to do for the show and what characters we're going to do, I kind of steered my suggestion into doing this character because I've always liked him. And then, like I said, when I opened the show, he's not one of the big characters, but he's fun. And I think certainly the stories we just heard were fun about him. And I don't think I'm alone in that because Christy and I had an opportunity to go to a real independent art show this summer in downtown Orlando. And it was like 90% Muppet based, 10% puppet based. Huh. And there is this one of the standout artworks was this just fantastic, nearly, would it say, not quite Renaissance, not quite colloquial, more colloquial.
Yeah, it
portrait
was
of him.
Oh,
that was
beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. We have a great picture of it. We'll post it on our Facebook page and maybe include it on our site notes as well. So obviously, someone with a lot of talent thought a lot of him, too. And it was huge, too. It was like an 18 by 24 portrait.
Yeah, it was
big,
huge.
Big portrait.
That was an incredible art show. It's just when you think that the Muppets, you know, you wonder if people still remember the Muppets. And then you go to a show like this, which isn't Disney sponsored. And it isn't,
no, it was completely
independent.
It isn't
mainstream. It's completely independent. And it's totally like a hole in the wall. And there's such beautiful work, and people don't make beautiful works of art of things they don't care about. And these are just, some of the stuff I was like, I want it, but it's also original art, so it's very expensive. Yeah.
So, just some personal notes. Like I said, I really liked this character. We had a real brief discussion before we started recording that's worth mentioning. I was, watching a lot of syndicated rerun TV at this age, and Bewitched was one of the shows I watched, and I always associated appearance-wise, and only appearance-wise, Lou Zealand with Dr. Bombay from Bewitched.
I had to look that up because I couldn't remember it. But you know what? I Googled, of course, because, you know, Googling gets you answers. The funniest thing is on the Muppet Wiki, it has that John Astin from the Addams Family. Look at that.
Yeah, I see.
That is it. This lookalike is Lou Zealand. He actually appeared in Muppet Magazine, which I actually had for years, and I guess somehow over the years I lost track of it and I didn't have any of the issues anymore. But they had great Muppet lookalike contests, and he won. He was paired with Lou Zealand. Like, they would take different celebrities and say who they looked like.
That's funny.
All right. Well, that's all I have about Lou Zealand. Anyone else have any closing thoughts before we wrap up here?
I did look, and he is on the Muppets movie poster.
I knew he had to be.
Yeah.
I would have put money on it. Okay, cool. So that's good to know that. All right. Okay, well, if you're a fan of our other In Character podcast, you know we usually wrap up with some trivia. Well, Muppet trivia is pretty scarce. So as you've probably heard throughout the episode, I was asking Karen and Christy questions, and that's kind of our trivia to play along. So I'm going to keep a loose tally on this, and so far Karen is killing Christy. I'm going to be nice and say it's one to nothing, one episode to nothing.
I'm trying to keep it easy for you, yeah, okay. Honey.
So
trying to keep it easy.
All right. So far, Karen 1, Christy 0. And since I'm host, I'm not on the board yet. So with that, I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Muppets in Character and joining in our discussion of Lou Zealand. Join us next time when we discuss Menomina. Thanks for listening to Muppets in Character. The Muppets in Character podcast is part of the NeoZazz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, visit www.neozazz.com. The Muppets in Character podcast is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Walt Disney Company. All Muppet characters, names, places, and Muppet-related events are copyright the Walt Disney Company or their respective trademark and copyright holders. For the latest Muppets in Character episodes and information, visit our website at www.mic.neozazz.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Muppets in Character.
Rough eat.
And eat.
Laugh oot. Ooya. Rough eem.
And eem.
Laugh ooya.
Ease.
Ootanak.
A weep a wow.
Eem.
Blue eem.
Much very, you think.
Mine was pleasure thee.